Good evening. My name is Nancy Winder. I'm the pastor in the village, and welcome to Vespers. You should all have one sheet of paper, which I just set mine down, but I'm going to have three songs on it. And we might have run out a little bit. There's some more over on this table over here if you need one. So please pick one up. And Laura and Jeff and Mark are leading Vespers for us tonight.
Good evening. Our gathering prayer this evening will be a responsive prayer. The invitation to respond will be the words, "Hear us say," and your response will be, "Come, Lord Jesus." Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, you too were tired when day was done. You met your friends at evening time. Hear us say, you lived well by doing good, summoned courage to do justice, and met brokenness with grace. Hear us say,
come, Lord Jesus.
You invite us to life abundant. You offer us life forgiven. You call us to life eternal. Hear us say,
come, Lord Jesus.
Be our guest. Let this day to us be blessed. Let peace now settle in our hearts. Open our minds and cradle our spirits. Hear us say,
come, Lord Jesus.
Hear us as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. So we move from sea to land.
The scripture for this evening is Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Paul is reflecting on the purpose of his life at a very uncertain time. Listen now for a word from God. For to me living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in the Spirit and striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm not a Lutheran. I am a minister in the United Church of Christ, and Laura, also helping this evening, is not a Lutheran. She is a minister in the Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church. I point this out for two reasons. First, to let you know that non-Lutherans are welcome at Holden Village. The lavish welcome. The lavish welcome of Holden is for all. And secondly, I want to point that out because in case you hear something unorthodox in the sermon or the prayers, you don't waste any time calling a bishop because it won't do any good. So with that little introduction, let us pray. Loving God, your people have gathered this evening to hear a word of hope and grace for their lives through the words that I have prepared, or if need be, despite them. Bring that message to your people gathered. Amen. I'm not sure why I thought it was necessary to try to convince May that she was alive. After all, she was almost 100 years old. She was a member of my first church 20 years ago, a long widowed farm wife with three successful and wonderful children and the respect of the entire community. And she had her faculties about her, except that she was sure that she was dead. She had been near death many times. That much was true. More than once, I was summoned to her bedside at the nursing home to say a final blessing on her life. She would enter long, long sleeps, and her heartbeat would slow to a near death-like pace. She ate nothing for days. Her family would come and keep vigil. They called for me. I came. I prayed for the saints and angels to welcome her in peace. And more than once, after this long wait, she would open her eyes and look around and ask, "Could someone get me a cup of coffee?" And she went on to die another day. Well, one day I brought communion to May and to the four other women from my congregation who lived at the nursing home. The staff had them ready for this little service. They were seated in a half circle in the chapel, and I had my service, and I said the words of institution, and it came time to distribute the elements. And I began with May, who was by now asleep, and I put my hand on her arm, and I said, May, can you wake up? And her eyes popped open. And she smiled a beatific smile. And she said politely in this wonderful voice that was something like a high register on a rusty harmonica, "Now, who are you?" And I said, "I'm your pastor." And she said, "You're my pastor?" I said, "Yes." And then she said, "Now, did I know you on earth?" I wasn't ready to go with her wherever she thought she was. So I said, "May, we are on earth now." And she looked around and she looked incredulous. She said, "This is earth? You mean I haven't passed on yet? I must be very old." I thought that since at least I had her now in this world, I would try to give her something tangible so she could become more clearly oriented. So I said, "May, you're sitting next to Clara. You remember Clara, your old friend from the farm, your church friend. You spent so much time together. She's here too." And May turned to Clara and said, "Oh, yes, Clara. Now, when did you pass away?" Clara said, "Bless her heart." Well, with some years behind me now and some meager wisdom gained, of the two of us, I now think that May at that time was the one most alive, living so closely to the realm of God that it was her second home. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember which day it is or where I am. And she had been a wonderful woman in her day, a sophisticated, brilliant woman. And this was a joyful way for her to live in the midst of her limitations imposed on her by age and her frailty. And meanwhile, I was this overly earnest young minister, and so many things seemed critical and worrisome to me. Important things, like whether or not the members of my congregation understood how important it was that the offertory come after the sermon, not the other way around, which had been their custom. And that they not put out the white paraments on communion Sundays, but use the color for the season. And that they get the American flag out of the sanctuary. And they get on board with the inclusive language train, which had left the station 20 years ago already. Not to mention their obliviousness to the dying rainforests and the plight of undocumented workers and American hegemony rampant in the third world. Sitting with May called me back to reality, that these things were important, even critical to address, but not so important that I should forget that I was alive. I needed to live in the midst of all that struggle. I needed to learn that you don't bring about the realm of God by furrowing your brow and wringing your hands and becoming so serious that you lose track of life. And that's a danger for those of us who have awakened to the injustice of the world. We need reminders that we are alive, because with the best of intentions to bring in the realm of God, too often we separate ourselves from joy and we kill contentment with worry. And we lock up happiness in a tomb of anger. And we bury the awareness of the enormousness of riches around us, because something isn't right in the church or in the world. And I'm not saying that it's easy, because after all, there is a lot to worry about. Our churches are fighting over whether or not we can be one church because they fear our welcome has become too wide. Our governments are cutting back programs for those who are most vulnerable and imposing laws that reek of racism and injustice. And the pains and the scars of the world and our lives are deep and demanding. And it's hard. How can we live joyfully with these many deaths around us? For me and for many of you, Holden is a place to come and remember that you're alive after too many days back home when your heads were bowed down and your souls were burdened by work for good that had lost its joy. And then we arrive and we see this gorgeous valley, and it's like a glimpse of heaven where everybody composts. Everybody cares about the earth. It's amazing. And we come here and we learn that working for justice and peace can be joyful. Arising from deep within us, this work can come forth like laughter or dancing. And it's a place to learn again how to keep awake to the fact that life is wondrous. And these pleasures that we have, this sun and these mountains and this spouse maybe or child, this rich ice cream that melts on our tongues and the sweet smell of pine and cedar and this dancing in church and this feeling of burning in our muscles, it's all so good. And we breathe and we realize we're doing it. And our heart pounds in our temples, and we wake up to the fact that we're alive, and we wonder, how could we have forgotten that? But with all the worries of the world, we can forget to live. Paul wrote, "For to me living is Christ." He might have written, "For to me living is grace, living is mercy, living is compassion, living is diving so fully into the joys of this world that we are swept up in a vision of heaven. Maybe we're not even sure where we are. Like throwing ourselves into Heart Lake, naked, after a sweaty hike. Life in Christ, not meant to be angry and fretful, but one of abundant joy and hope and grace sufficient for the pain and glimpses of heaven surprising us all along the way. One day I was alone with May when she came out of a long, deep, near-death sleep. And I'd learned by then just to sit with her and to let her meander back and forth between the realm of God on earth and the realm of God in heaven, and not to worry so much if she was here or there. So I just asked her, "May, where have you been?" And she said with a little sparkle in her eye, like when someone confesses to indulging in a guilty pleasure, "I've been visiting my mother. We ate a wonderful feast." Good people, keep awake to your visions of God's realm, and at the same time, stay alive to the goodness of your lives. Work for justice hard, but with glad minds. Stand up firmly for peace, but with eager and hopeful spirits, because you're alive. So wake up. Have a cup of coffee. Die some other day." Amen.
Life, love, peace, he names Lazarus, talks about the word umbilical, umbilical word, nurturing, nourishing, umbilical. And the Trinity as creator, lamb, and dove. So let's stand and sing it, and the choir will sing stand.
Prayer this evening, I invite you to touch the person to your right or your left or both, either by holding their hand, touch their shoulder, whatever is comfortable for you. This again will be a responsive prayer. Your invitation will be, Lord of life, and please respond with, we give you thanks. Gracious God, creator and sustainer of life, we offer our thanksgiving for your very gift of life and all that unfolds within it, for your breath that flows through the cool mountain air and refreshes our body and spirit. Lord of life, we give you thanks. For the beauty of your love reflected in these mountains, in the streams, and in the faces we meet, for the beauty of your love that is reflected in the shadows and dark corners of our lives, even those we choose not to visit. Lord of life, we give you thanks. For creating us as a people who challenge and change one another, who hurt and heal one another, who grow and grieve with one another, for creating us as a people who hold the possibility of bringing one another peace. Lord of life, we give you thanks. For the bodies our lives inhabit, for the movement of our fingers as we fold our hands in prayer, for the experience of the warmth of another's touch that calls to our attention our own humanity and the humanity of another. Lord of life, for the life of our Christ, who teaches us mercy, love, justice, and forgiveness, and offers us the gift of new life each and every day. Lord of life,
we give thanks.
And the people of God said, Amen.
Sacred Music Program, William Obaga from Kenya, and the text means, there is no other God like you, O Lord.